Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Vibes Podcast. Tights and Vibes.
Hello, Internet. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy, and we're hosts of the Etiquette and Manners podcast, Schmanners, on the Maximum Fun Network.
Plus, there's me, Danielle Radford.
What? And me, Hal Loveland.
What?
And we are the hosts of Tights and Fights. Yeah, we're here. That's right, Travis.
What are you doing on my podcast?
I live with you now. You haven't even noticed me in the kitchen eating cereal?
You got your podcast in my pot. Wait, what is it?
Yeah.
Peanut butter and my chocolate, but it's not the same.
Oh, I'm getting podcast. Chocolate all over your peanut butter.
You got my, your, but this would be like if you said, like, you got your peanut butter all over my peanut butter.
Welcome to a double-decker peanut butter jar.
It's all peanut butter.
Host, yeah. We host Tights and Fights. We are the pro wrestling podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, and it is great to be with all of you here on a special network-wide block party. It's a block party.
Can
We're
going to
combine. Yeah.
Can I just say right off the bat that though your show be about pro wrestling and our show be about manners, I think that we have more in common than not, because I know that Tights and Fights, one of your like claim to fame is it's like pro wrestling from a non-toxic, you know, standpoint, from a very friendly, like, listener welcoming standpoint. And Schmanners is all about manners and etiquette as a tool to be used to make your life better and not as a tool to judge others. I think we both come at it from a very similar, like, let's all just have fun here.
Awesome. Also, I did try to teach myself how to eat soup during quarantine.
Very nice.
Did
very
you try
nice.
A spoon? Because that's always worked
now,
for me.
I've now, never... wait a second.
The spoon is, you do have to start with a, well, first you have to start with soup. And then a bowl. And then you go into spoons.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there's like a way that you do soup. So that like you're, there's like a whole dragging towards you and like a thing.
Really?
I worked on it a lot. Yeah.
Even I don't know this.
I've seen the tilt the bowl. I've seen the spoon away. Somebody taught me that, and I'm convinced to this day, and it's been reinforced a few times, that all of them are messing with me to try and get me to, because when you move the spoon away, then you have to carry liquid even longer before it gets where it's going, which everybody who watched Double Dare knows is just a recipe for spilling.
It's impossible.
I'm trying to remember, it's like away from the harbor and close to shore, but like at the end, you wind up like making sure that you take the edge of the spoon and like you do it so that it doesn't drip, and then there's a way that you bring it up, you bring the spoon to your face, not your face to the spoon, and then it's just a little bit of a like just like a little bit of, sorry, that's some ASMR for you.
No, that was great. We did that,
was
that a lot,
like a little bit of a like a little bit of a sippity do.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sort of like a skim of the top almost to the outside far edge of the bowl, and then close to the soup as you bring it closer to you. Then you wipe it on the side of the bowl before it comes up to your mouth. So there's
sounds like a lot of work.
But that's only just like the you know, the broth style soup. There's a whole different sort of way of eating, like a noodle soup or a chunky soup or a stew, or all that kind of stuff.
See, I prefer to eat my soup like Oliver Twist, while also like keeping my eyes up, make sure no one's about to steal my soup, get very close to the bowl, put one arm around to guard it.
A little hunchy? A little hunchy?
No one's taking my soup.
Like the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Exactly like the Beast.
Drink it up over your...
Beauty and the Beast. Now, you guys don't normally talk about Schmanners and manners on Tights and Fights. You talk about pro wrestling.
Yes.
True. Although I want to talk about is soup now. I have one last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, Teresa.
This is also the way our show works, by the way.
10 being the rudest and 1 being a proper civilized person in society. When I'm at a restaurant and I've eaten most of the soup, I've ingested most of it, but I still have some left in the bowl, and then I pick up the bowl and tilt it to my face while making eye contact with people around me.
Yeah.
How bad is that?
Yeah, good
just
question.
Stick out your tongue. I think you just like lick it with your tongue and you just
that happens
straight
after. There are drippy drops. Everything must go.
It depends. It depends on what you kind of soup and where you're at, because it's perfectly acceptable if you're eating ramen, for example, to finish the soup from the bowl after you eat the noodles. So
also, the other question is, do you care? Because that's the other thing. If people might like give you a sideways glance and everything, but like if you're having dinner with people who are like, that's how, and they love that you do that, then it doesn't really matter.
That's the name of his new sitcom. Bum-ba-da-ba-da-bum-bum, that's how. Yeah.
He runs a soup store.
Well, obviously you're selling soup, but I assume there's also ladles, tureens, all kinds of the accoutrement.
It's a one-stop shop for the soup that you can't drop.
Wait, why can't drop it?
Hold on. Wait, what's that? Oh, we just got canceled.
Oh,
sorry.
Man, sorry.
Oh, short-lived.
Sorry to hear that now. So tell us about your show. We talked a lot about our Manners show. What do you guys, how do you guys like approach the topic? What do you talk about like the current matches and
because there's like storylines, right?
Kayfabe, I believe it's called.
Yeah, we cover it all. We talk about things that are happening. We will go back and talk about some famous matches or wrestlers whose career retrospective we want to go through, ring music, or more importantly, social issues, where I am the only straight white male who talks, and I try to talk as little as possible during those segments.
Good man.
And listen as modeling behavior for everybody else who is like me.
And I crack jokes. And Lindsay comes with her gorgeous, articulate Britishness, because she is like, she can break down wrestling, and she has a wrestling mind in a way that, like, I haven't seen from a lot of people. Like, it's so different the way that she looks at the sport, and it's so, like, interesting. And I'm just like, poop, farts, butt, fart.
Well, that's what I do on our show.
Yeah.
Okay. Virtual high five.
Yeah. Now, I have a question for you, because, like, I started in prep for this show and talking to you guys, I started, like, researching, like, famous, like, pro wrestling feuds. And I realized, like, one third of all the ones I found involved Hulk Hogan. So then I started thinking, like, who is more iconic to pro wrestling, Hulk Hogan or The Rock?
Ooh.
What do you think, Danielle?
I don't know. This is manners. So I'm going to politely say, fuck Hulk Hogan. Okay. This is on your manners podcast.
Fair.
Just to go ahead and start it off with that. It's, you know what? Like, it's one of those things where I think when you think pro wrestling, a lot of people, unfortunately, Hulk Hogan will be the person that they think of because of the way that The Rock's career after pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, when you think of Dwayne now, you don't necessarily always think pro wrestling first.
Yeah.
You think of, like, his career in life is not defined by pro wrestling.
Finally, The Rock has come.
Whereas, like, as much as that racist dude wanted Pasta Mania to take off, unfortunately, we only know of him as this big wrestler that, like, kids got into when they were younger that made us say our prayers and take our vitamins and only say the N-word if you don't know you're being recorded.
I mean, and it was also all the merchandising. His face was everywhere.
Yes.
Didn't watch pro wrestling, but I knew who he was because his face was on cereal boxes and toys and mugs and, like, it was inescapable, I think.
For all the things that Vince McMahon is, some good, plenty of terrible, he is one of the greatest promoters in history. And what he did in the early 80s was essentially take a bunch of territorial wrestling companies and get all the best talent, get TV time everywhere, and take wrestling national. And Hogan was the guy he picked to be his huge star. So as bad of a human being as he has turned out to be, he's always going to be linked to being one of the biggest, if not the biggest, wrestling star of all time because he was the first one that was national. But I think the Rock has transcended wrestling in a way that John Cena is starting to do as well, where
Dave Bautista is like no one even really thinks of him in wrestling anymore.
I forgot he was a wrestler until I was like prepping to talk to you guys, and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's Drax, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I only think of him as Streamer, the Disney streaming icon.
That's right.
He's in a boat forever now.
That's the only way I think of Dave Bautista. And I think he did a movie with Kumail Nanjiani that I'm now forgetting, but he definitely was in it.
Yes. I think it was just called like, it was like some pun on Uber.
Yeah.
Stuber.
Stuber.
Stuber. That's a classic.
Four heads are better than one.
Okay. So I'm the only one who saw that in the theater? Great.
Did
just
you?
Just wanted to check. I did.
Oh, boy.
It's not bad.
Look, I like Kumail. I'm a wrestling fan. and I went to see it, and it had both of those things in it. It had a wrestler, and it had Kumail in it.
It was also not a pandemic, and so it was worth it to go to a theater for a movie called Stuber.
Yeah, I could go to a theater that wasn't a drive-in. And feel safe.
I saw the Entourage movie in theaters, so I'm not going to...
Me too!
We got to talk about this another time. Don't worry.
That's the one you dragged me to, right?
No, I didn't make you go to that one. I saw it at like 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
At a theater, and it was me and like 4 15-year-old boys. Oh, God. Okay.
Speaking of wrestling, what's her name also became a wrestler for a while.
Yeah. What was her name? I know you're talking about. Yeah, because she was in that
She also
movie.
Super sucks.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey.
Rousey was also in wrestling for a while.
Yeah, she was Turtle's love interest. Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Why do I know that? Why do I remember? For a second, you had talked with so much energy, Travis, that I forgot the movie we were talking about, and I felt a joy that immediately got pulled back into the dark vacuum as soon as I remembered.
Act like most of us on this podcast haven't seen the Entourage movie.
Come on,
I actually have another deep dive I want to see if anyone will follow me into. When I was in high school, our Goodwill received an entire case of Black China's book. Do you remember?
What?
She wrote a memoir. And so our friend group all bought them, you know, for like a quarter each and pass them out at school.
There you go.
Your own distribution network.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the LuLaRoe of Black China's book.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, we didn't
you
sell
just
them.
You buy all these books and then you have a party and then you give them away with a free pair of tights.
See, what was your downline on that? How did that look?
Yeah, you should have sold it.
No, I mean, it wasn't selling. We would just, it was the joke that we would hand people, oh, have you read this yet?
And you gave
it
to someone. Have you heard the good
word? Like passing out Bibles.
Yeah. Now, I see, when I was in, like...
The good word.
Yes, right? So, I was born in early 80s. So, of course, like, I was in the WWF era. You know, Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the British Bulldogs. Like, I had, like, the figures, too, which I, like...
Yep.
Man, the WWF knew how to do, like, toyetics. For kids, like they gave every wrestler had like a prop, and so like you would buy, and it was like, here's Hacksaw Jim Duggan and his 2x4, like part of the thing. Oh man!
And folks, you know me. If things get a little bit out of hand, well, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is not too shy about grabbing my 2x4 and the Stars and Stripes. Tough guy. Oh!
He's cursed, by the way, forever now. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, when he's on the convention circuit, when that is functioning, and he has to carry a 2x4 with him forever. He can't. It's
yep.
Are
it's
you
his,
being serious?
Yeah,
I am.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
and
other people.
Other people will bring him 2x4s to be autographed.
Yeah,
because
it was his whole thing.
That was his thing.
Well, with the cost of lumber these
days,
he's sitting on a gold mine right now. Maybe he'll start selling.
This is in the Venn diagram of manners in wrestling, right? I found like some manners of pro wrestlers that they have to, and I'm going to say some of these. You tell me if you know about them, okay? Mm-hmm. Keep your boots dirty. Do you know about this?
I read that and it was did not sound familiar to me, but when I saw it explained, it made sense. So maybe Danielle, have you heard of this?
I've not heard of keep your boots dirty, and I know some of this carny talk, so I'm very interested to know what this is.
Yeah. So basically, the implication here is like if your boots are too shiny and polished, it's kind of an indication that you are vain and care too much about your appearance, and the like. Logical conclusion being, if you're so vain that you're worried about how your boots look, you're probably more worried about yourself than making your opponent look good.
Right. And see, conversely, people will wipe their feet off before they go into the ring, which you would think would be a manners thing because they're putting their feet all over each other. But it's actually an old stage thing, which symbolizes I am leaving behind myself and getting into character.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
When you see people wipe their feet off before they go into the ring, it's not, again, necessarily that they're like, oh, God, my shoes are gross and I'm going to put these all over someone's head. It is a theater thing which says, I am now no longer Danielle Radford. I am going into the ring as, I don't know what they would call me, like the Rad Star or like whatever.
Oh, that's really
good. And
I'm
going to go in there and start like pinning people.
Yeah.
Like I am now in character.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There was another one. And a lot of these have to do with like, don't be egotistical. Don't appear. Keep your championship belt hidden as much as possible. Like, when you, as soon
after
as you,
go backstage,
yeah, as soon as you go backstage, you're not like, check this out, everybody. That it's like, that's only for when you're making an appearance.
Because it's a performance, right? It's like a soap opera.
Yeah.
There's another thing where when you win the belt off of someone, wrestlers are constantly in communication with each other when they're in the ring. They're talking to each other. They're talking to the ref. The refs have the people in the back in Gorilla, which is like basically production, like one of the production tables in their ears. And so there is a tradition where if you are wrestling and you win a title off of someone, you can see them tell them thank you when they like either during the pin or after the pin.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
sometimes
awesome.
Sometimes you can hear them speaking. Sometimes you see them like pat one another. Like the person who's winning will pat the person who's losing on the arm. I can tell you for WWE that there are two sets of championship belts because I have a friend.
A brown
who
one and a black one to go with different shoes.
A brown one and a black one. That's right. You get to pick the color you like. No, they have a set for TV that they keep in a cabinet. And then the talent gets a belt to take with them to appearances and stuff. But that would make sense to me because generally it goes in a bag. You keep it with you. You don't want to lose it. There are a million stories wrestlers will tell if they have the title of being stopped at airport security because it sets off the metal detector. But
have time for me to tell the story about the AEW belt?
Please.
Please?
Yeah. I would love it.
So the AEW is a new promotion. It's very exciting. They're doing very exciting things. They got Chris Jericho, which was a huge coup for them because at the time he was the biggest, like, internationally known name they had. He won their brand new, spanking new, gorgeous belt. And so he takes the belt on a night out. He goes to a chain steakhouse, which people have argued about which steakhouse it is, but he goes to a chain steakhouse with the belt. The belt is his date. He's eating steak. He's having a good time. He's drinking. Woo, 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 woo. Their brand new belt, this brand new company that is trying to establish themselves, and their brand new champion, sometime during the night, he loses this goddamn belt.
Get out.
Not kayfabe. Not kayfabe. This is not a wrestling thing. The belt is gone. And no one can figure out if it's like he left it in the car and the car drove off or if someone took it while he was in the bathroom. But his brand new shiny thing, the first time anyone has had this very shiny title, it gets stolen at a steakhouse.
Oh, boy. And it still hasn't like surfaced or anything as far as we know?
They definitely came out with another title belt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it the same title belt? Who knows?
Oh, I like to think that the original is in a lost and found bin at Tampa Houston Steakhouse.
This could be anybody's.
Maybe that'll show up at Goodwill.
There's no way
that's real. $10 ready.
Yeah.
But see, this is one of those reasons why it's like, look, old school days, you carry around your championship and you're like, I'm the man. But it's like, maybe you should just keep that inside your lockers.
This is like when we went to dinner with Hal and I lost my wedding ring
behind
a booth in a restaurant, and the booth was attached to a wall, so they couldn't get the booth off. And they got my phone number and said, if we ever remodel, we'll call you.
Every once in a while, I will talk to Jennifer, my wife. You all know Jennifer, but maybe people listening don't. And I will get mad that they had seats, they had booths set up against a glass, against their window, against the exterior, that had space for things to fall down, but no way to retrieve them.
Correct.
It's very upsetting.
Terrible.
And
terrible
you both
design.
Handled it in stride.
Thank you.
Wonderfully.
I was mortified. I was so embarrassed. I was like, the whole restaurant is starting to get up out of their seats to try and find this ring, and I just wanted to crawl under the table.
Everybody was paying so much attention. It's so weird to be embarrassed because everyone is attempting to help.
Yeah.
When you're just like, no, please stop. Just sit back down. Please, everybody. It's fine. I've already forgotten about it. Don't worry about it. We're getting divorced. Don't worry. So here's another rule I found, which is basically like shake everybody's hand. That like when you're shaking the employees, you're shaking the other wrestlers, you're shaking everybody. And apparently there was an old tradition, which is now not as common, but to shake with like a limp hand to show, like, mm-hmm. you are safe with me. I'm not, like, challenging you. Like, this is a soft handshake instead of, like, you know, you're not death gripping, which I kind of really like.
It's kind of like a secret code, right? Like a secret handshake you would give another, like, a coworker, professional person. But it makes so much sense that you would shake everybody who's involved from, you know, from the bottom to the top. And that's kind of like... That feels very theatrical as well, because when you are in theater, you are definitely beholden to the stagehands, to the lighting techs, to the sound tech. Like, everybody, you know, teamwork makes the dream work.
There's one more thing that I'm hoping you guys know more about, because I found that it existed, but I couldn't mm-hmm. find the thing. Which is wrestler's court?
Yes.
Oh my God!
Can we briefly talk about the handshakes first?
Yeah, because sorry.
I find it fascinating as well. And then we will totally talk about wrestler's court, which is
a 100%
real thing, still happening.
Still weird
everywhere. But the handshakes is definitely also from a time where the business was very protected. The idea of kayfabe was not something that we didn't know about that. Growing
Hal,
up,
you
want to
tell
we
them what
kids.
Kayfabe is?
Yes, kayfabe, which is supposed to be from Pig Latin, is really carny language, is the facade of wrestling that we see. So kayfabe is that the Undertaker is an actual Undertaker who has supernatural powers, that the matches are not predetermined. It's the presentation of things as real. So when somebody shoots...
Fake kayfabe becomes
kayfabe. So to protect the business, when somebody new comes into the locker room, you needed a way for them to identify themselves and for you to understand that they were inside the business. And so that handshake, nobody goes in purposefully with a very limp handshake. So that became the way not only to know you're going to take care of me, but you're in the business. You know. I know you are a worker. You are somebody who wrestles.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Really is.
Okay,
yeah,
so
they couldn't do the thing from the Sting that was taken.
Yeah. So what is wrestler's court?
Oh my God. So anytime there would be like a major confrontation between like two wrestlers or two workers, and it got to a point where it was like egregious and might like actually disrupt what was happening, like not a thing that two people could handle themselves. Whoever was, there's always a locker room leader, and whoever the locker room leader is, and for decades it was the Undertaker, would sit down backstage and they would have wrestling court where you would actually go through the motions and like present your sides, and the Undertaker would dole out punishments and say like, okay, well, you wronged this person, so you have to do this, but this thing you did was also kind of crappy, so now you have to do this. And it might... In a good world, you would like to believe it was certain things, like you've got to carry someone's bags for a month, or you got to pay for drinks for a month or whatever. Some wrestling court punishments were like, allegedly, I'm just going to sprinkle that over everything, were like not that great. Like some wrestle court punishments were definitely like more like the things that you would do for a prank for someone, but you're doing it for that person. But essentially it's like a way to like lay down the law to be like, we have rules and these rules weren't followed, and we have to do this so that all of us can continue to work. Because even if you don't like someone, you have to be able to trust that person when you get inside that ring to not hurt you. And so this was one of those ways of like making sure that everyone was taken care of and that like things were handled. And then after that, you're not allowed to like go into the ring and, to use some carny jargon, go stiff, which is when you actually hit someone, go into work for yourself, when you actually put them into hold so that you wind up being the winner. Like things like that, you know, do receipts where if someone goes stiff on you or has done things in the past, you give them a receipt by then trying to legitimately hurt them. This is a way to say like, this is over now. You are no longer allowed to take this out on each other because we have a show to do.
Yeah.
I love it.
That makes sense.
Speaking of shows to do, I want to know, so for Schmanners listeners who are like, listen, I clearly, Tyson Fights is great. Where should I start?
We did an episode recently where we talked about the career of William Regal, who is a British wrestler who has been all over American wrestling as well. He's currently in the general manager role on NXT, which is the WWE developmental brand. But he also is very, his debut in 2000 was him teaching everybody manners.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be a good place to start. He was a bad guy at the time because nobody... Don't you tell me what fork to use for salad.
Oh, I see.
Yes, that is episode 251. And then most recently, we talked about representation in wrestling. And
it's an ongoing topic, but we really got into it recently.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
That's what we suggest. What about Schmanners for people? I mean, I am a fan.
Well,
obviously,
I always recommend the thank you notes episode. I think that it is something that, you know, everyone can relate to. We've all been like kind of elbowed by our family to be like, you got to write grandma thank you note for that thing.
Wait, what voice is that? Who is that in my family?
It is your dad.
That's how my dad sounds to you?
That's your dad.
Oh, man.
Don't let him find out.
And, well, thanks. I thought so, too.
I also highly recommend the idioms episode. We do a series.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, what do you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to recommend the Emily Post
biography. I was going to do that one, too. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Okay, so we did a biography of Emily Post, and it's absolutely fascinating, and everyone should check that out. But we also do a series where we take, like, commonly used idioms and talk about the origins of them and how they developed. And, like, I think we're on, like, like 10 episodes of
it. There really are just so many idiom episodes at this point. I can't believe that in our life we talk in such riddles all the time.
Right. Like,
just wrestling jargon. That's amazing. Yeah.
Here's an amazing one right off the top of my head. Let the cat out of the bag. So this came from when they used to sell, like, suckling pigs in bags, but, like, people who were liars would put just, like, stray cats in the bag so it would wriggle around and then say, like, yeah, that's a suckling pig, and then they'd sell it to you, but if you opened it up, you would let the cat out of the bag. So that's where the idiom, let the cat out of the bag, came from. Right? Like, that's what you never think about. We say these things all the time, and you're just like, you know, like how you let the cat out of the bag. And you're like, yeah, but that came from somewhere.
So if you're looking for those episodes, the thank you episode was on January 26, 2016. The Emily Post episode, we actually recently re-aired it because it is that good. So the re-airing is on January 23rd, 2020. And then the idioms part one, our OG idioms episode, is June 20th, 2020.
Everybody should check that. If you listen to Tights and Fights, you enjoy comedy and learning things. And that is something Schmanners does extremely well. And also, like, it takes the stress out of a lot of things that people either don't know or we're so afraid, like, thank you notes, we're so afraid to get into them that having it explained de-stresses it, and you'll actually look forward to the next time you either send or receive one.
And let me give a quick plug for Tyson Fights, which is to say, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't really care about pro wrestling. Well, you don't have to, because you guys make it very interesting and fun. And it's one of my favorite things in the world is to listen to interesting people talk about things they are interested in, whether I am interested in it or not. Right. And it's like, there are some things where it's like, I end up caring more about the show than I do about actual pro wrestling. So go check it out. And whether you care about pro wrestling or not, you'll fall in love with the show, because the hosts are charming and funny. And that is going to do it for us. It's been so much fun. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Danielle and Hal. I hope that everybody is having fun with the Max Fun Block Party. Go check out Schmanners. I think it's great. And Tights and Fight, which is also great as part of the celebration. Thank you, everybody. And goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Ooh, is it Block Party? Is it time for beer?
Tights and Fight Podcast. Tights and Fight.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.